Welcome to Yacht Crew Vlogs, where we tell the stories of those in the yachting industry. A behind-the-scenes look that discovers the individuals in the industry, their history, their passions, and what inspires them to do what they do. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Jim and Judy from Sail Dauntless in the U.S. of A. How are you?
Great.
How are you, Rhea?
Good, thank you. Well, the reason that I have you on here today is I want to talk about all things charter in the U.S. Let's start with you to begin with, actually. I mean, how did you even get into buying a yacht for charter? Where are you guys from and what brought you to this stage today?
Cool. Well, I like to tell our story a little bit. So we lived in Virginia, longer Virginia, U.S., you know, mid-Atlantic, longer than anywhere else. And we liked, so our name of our boat is Dauntless and the company Sail Dauntless, right? So we like to say that we've been dauntless before. And we bought this large property, you know, it's all relative. And we designed and built our own house. So the first child was the design and drawings that Jim did on CAD. It took 9 months. So it was the first child. And then we were our own general contractor. And it was dauntless because we didn't have anyone in our family or anyone we knew that ever bought that much property or built their own house. So we lived in it for over 20 years, raised our two lovely boys. Henry was born a week after we got occupancy permit. So being two Scorpios, we work very well on deadlines. And then Will was born 2 years later. And so we had really, it was lovely. Everything was beautiful, great wraparound porch, beautiful views.
Nice bubble. Perfect.
It was lovely. School system was good. We were engaged in the community. But, you know, we had that view for 20 years. And the kids were off to college. And we said, well, you know, now's a good time. We could consider something else. We're both landscape architects. And we both like water. Jim loves the water. He was in the Coast Guard for 4 years. And we both sailed on and off since we've been teenagers. And we liked it. And we said, let's time for a different view. We like to travel. What's a way that we can do this and make it viable and run a business? So that's what got us looking for the boat. And I'll let Jim talk more about the boat search and, you know, that whole thing. But that's where we came from.
Wow. So that you decided after the kids went away to college or university. And then it was a process of, I guess, of selling the house and deciding, or do you still have the house? Or you sold the house?
We sold everything. Everything. Wow. We didn't keep a storage unit for anything. Right. If it didn't fit on the boat, it was mostly given away, because I don't know if you've ever tried to sell stuff. You know, it's pennies on the dollar. So we just donated pretty much everything.
Yeah. And it took us 5 years of research and going to various boat shows to determine what kind of vessel we wanted. She put a restriction because of our marriage. The boat had to be at least 50 feet long so she could get away from me if she had
right.
to.
I figured that out in the boat shows. You know, it's cool when you've got five different size boats of the same type right next to each other and you could go on and off and see what they feel like. So I came up with 50 feet. So we wound up with 52 of a brand new boat, go ahead.
So after 5 years, we finally settled down on a French boat. Primarily because of the aesthetic. Newer yachts have a lot more daylight down below. They're not these dark, dingy holds anymore. The architecture is beautiful. The accommodations are amazing on all new yacht architecture. A hat off to the architects that design these yachts these days. It's amazing what they're doing with yacht design. That's a whole nother show in itself, what's going on with architecture in the marine world. We went over to France to see the yacht actually in the plant. We met some of the people that actually built it in Calais, France.
That was pretty cool.
And I wanted to see how all the utilities were laid out before they brought in all the nice woods and the finishes and the mattress and the seats and everything. So that was quite an experience as well. And then it came over here in March of 2017. It was shipped over. we drove to Annapolis to meet our broker, and there was about a foot of snow on the boat. So that was our,
because it was December.
So we had to sweep off the boat to take our first steps on Dauntless.
Yeah. The broker thought we were nuts, but we were like, we got to see our boat.
So we spent time getting, I was in the Coast Guard at a rescue station at Cape Hatteras for 4 years. That's where I learned ocean rescue. We had a 44-foot sailboat that we taught how to offshore sail. And we both got recertified through all the international requirements of STCW that a lot of your listeners, I'm sure they carry as well. I now currently hold a U.S. Coast Guard 50-ton master's license. We take up to 6 guests on our luxury yacht.
Nice. Well, now let's get to present day. You have been chartering for how long now?
4 years.
4 years.
And has that mainly been in the Caribbean?
Mostly, yes. Yes. Okay. For 3 years, really, we're in the Caribbean for 3 years. Yes.
How did you find last year, 2020, the year that none of us will ever forget in the course of history? How did you find that year compared to the other 2 years then that you were in the Caribbean as far as charters go?
In the beginning of 2020, our business was starting to take off. We were starting to get traction in our marketing and our business plan. We were getting a lot more bookings from the clearinghouses down in the Caribbean. So we were becoming a known entity. And our testimonials and our reviews from the guests that we've had a little over 30 families in our business to date since 2017. When COVID hit, the market just dropped out with all the restrictions that occurred. The whole charter industry in the Caribbean came to a screeching halt, as long as every other travel industry, primarily because the health requirements, medical facilities in the Caribbean, they really had to clamp down hard to protect their locals. And it's totally understandable. The airlines stopped flying as much, beaches were closed, restaurants, bars are closed. If you had charter guests, there's still plenty of places, I'm gonna call them more natural park-like places where you could have a good charter in the Caribbean. It's just, there's no beach bars.
Oh, even still though, that's not every country. That's very, very few countries, even still. So really for about 1 year now, really started, last March was when everything really shut down. So the places that will, USVI became very crowded last year because BVIs, I'm gonna say it, were so nasty and still are, they shut down. They wouldn't let any boats come in at all, even their own boats. Even if you were British flag, you could not go there if you were not already there. So everybody came to USVI. So all the lovely little places around St. John were more than packed. And you could not, I'll tell you one thing that's kind of crazy. If you're a sailor, you understand this more. You have to empty your waste tank somewhere, right? And you don't do that in the beautiful harbor. And you definitely don't do that in the national park. Well, there was such fear that if you left the mooring to go out 3 miles to be able to dump your tanks, you wouldn't have your mooring when you got back again because someone else would take it that quickly. So it was a whole mess. They shut down the beaches. So since there's not many marinas in the entire Caribbean, you're on the hook or you're on a mooring ball, which means to get to land, you're taking your dinghy and you got to go to the beach. So when they shut down the beaches, it meant you could not get to land. So it was tough enough for us because personally, I need to get to land every day. I'm not a passage maker. I am a very happy fair weather day sailor. Okay. I'm the chef. I keep everybody happy and we go island hopping. Okay. So I like to get on land like almost every day.
Right.
And so the people with kids on board, the people with pets on board, it was crazy.
Yeah.
So then the bigger thing I'll let you speak of was, planning ahead for hurricane season, which you always have to do because we were in the Virgin Islands last winter. So USVI was the place to be out of the entire chain, I would say, that as Americans, we had a good situation. We could, especially if we went back to St. Thomas, more access to stores and all that stuff compared to St. John. So we had a plan ahead for hurricane season. And the previous two summers, we had put the boat down in Grenada in a boatyard because that's pretty safe for the hurricanes. And they were so shut down that we were not sure if they were going to open and allow yachts to come into the boatyard. So This was in March we were talking about. We're like, you know, we can't wait until June to find out if they're going to open or not. So that was really what helped us make the next step to bring the boat back up to the States. Because we said, let's just bring the boat back for hurricane season. And then we wound up doing some chartering in Chesapeake Bay last summer. And now the plan is to go up north, New England and the Hamptons this summer. So we're going to take advantage of where people can drive to and or a quick flight. And that's, I don't know about Canada now because I think they're still in lockdown. Are they allowed to fly back and forth? Do you know?
I think the borders are closed at the moment.
Yeah, that's what I think too. Right, right. So if you're in America and our boat's in America, you know, you can get to us. That's great.
So in discussion with our clearinghouse for charter brokers, they're a fairly large company. They Select Yachts. They advised us that there's a shortage of charter boats up in the New England area, that they thought that there was a potential market for
us. There's business, right.
Because of what the shortage of yachts that are available right now.
Also, there's a lot of sailboats. There's a lot of monohulls still up north. Right. And what we found in the Caribbean is the market for chartering is 95% plus catamaran.
Yeah.
We have a monohull. So I think we're going to have find a very good fit further north.
Right, right.
Well, I mean, you know, one of the things that I've noticed in my research is that the U.S. in this past year has seen a huge increase in boat purchases, as well as those that have their boats. They haven't been selling their boats as often as they would in the past because, well, you can't go anywhere. You might as well use your boat. How has it been for the charter markets such as yourselves as far as the U.S. goes? I'm assuming that you have people that you know that have been in the charter market in the U.S. that weren't in the Caribbean for the past few years but have been in the U.S. Have they noticed last year was an increase?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I think it's building. I think everyone is getting ready for this big pent-up release that's going to occur once the bulk of us get our vaccinations over here. It is true that sales of boats over the last couple of years has been off the charts. They can't build them fast enough.
Last year, not the last couple of years, this past year.
Definitely last year.
Yeah. Not so sure that reflects the charter market at all.
No.
Yeah, we're not sure. And one of the reasons, at least here on the East Coast, there's really only a couple areas in the summertime, which is our vacation season here in the U.S., the Florida Keys in the wintertime. And then you have New England in the summertime, which is a very short season compared to the Caribbean.
Great.
So the New England market, a couple of years ago, we were talking to a broker and he said there was no charter market in New England. Well, that's changing now, I think, because of COVID. Mm-hmm. People are staying closer. They're driving to their vacations.
Again, it's accessible. Like even from Washington, there's a quick flight on Southwest up to Newport.
Newport, yeah.
Cheap and easy. You know?
So I think that's the next going to be the next hotspot. Florida with COVID has been challenged. We're not aware of any of our friends that are actually doing any charter business at all. And we're talking some nice 70 nice foot boats. Multi-million dollar catamarans that'll carry, you know, 10 to 12 guests in high luxury or sitting on the hook down there. So I think we're anticipating, we're getting ready.
Right. We're ready for the pent up demand to break loose.
Yes. I think the whole industry is ready. We're ready to go. I think it's going to be fun. It always is fun. Chartering is a party. The time you get on the boat, the time you get off the boat, it's a party. It's one of the reasons we like to get into this is we've always loved to entertain, and she's an excellent chef. And I steer the boat, and we haven't put her on the rocks yet. So life's good. We just need to get these little small things out of the way.
Well, let me ask you, what is going to be the difference in your charters coming up this year than in the past? What extra steps do you find that or do you now have to take in order to make sure that the charter is safer, COVID related?
We're going to require either proof of vaccination for our guests. We will be vaccinated before our first charter, and or proof of a negative COVID
negative,
test,
a negative test
within a certain number of hours before you get on the boat.
Right.
We've always taken extreme care in cleaning the boat after a charter. We hire professional companies.
And during.
They sanitize the boat. If you're going to run a luxury charter, it needs to be 5-star when they step on board, regardless of the size of the boat. It needs to shine. It needs to smell good. It needs everything. So we're already kind of amped up as far as what I call marine hygiene on the boat.
Well, the other thing is too, is because it's our home.
Yes.
So we're welcoming people into our home. So we care about it. You know, we think there's a difference with owner operators, and there's not a lot of us out there. The other thing is, if you noticed, we're not 20.
No,
I'm 32.
So, you know, there's a few older, you know, people running charters, but not a lot. They're mostly in their 20s.
Yeah.
So, you know, he doesn't have the man bun anymore.
It fell off.
Yeah, that's all right. You know what? I mean, there's something to be said about age. With age comes experience and knowledge. Not to take away from those younger either, but I think there is a place in the world for everybody of every age.
Some of the people that have come on board actually said they chose us because we're a married couple.
Right.
Like, they just didn't simply want two crew people that, you know, sometimes crew people are just thrown together. They always haven't worked together for years and years. So then you'd never quite know if there's some issues going on between the two of them. And people on vacation don't need that. They don't need that drama. That's what. Well, no drama here.
I mean, well, no, we're just a two-act comedy. I mean, all week long.
I can tell.
You know, where you know, she does. Judy handles all the sails. She does all the sail trim.
And the anchoring and the mooring.
She does the anchoring and she her best deal is, being an Italian, is negotiating the price of a live fish from the local fishermen when they come up next to the boat.
New York Italian.
For tonight's dinner. The clients got their cameras out, shooting video. It's quite the scene.
Yeah, so once we make the deal, then I go down below and get my fillet knife and say, oh, by the way, could you fillet it for me too?
Why not?
Because I know they'll do a better job than me for the fillet.
Let me ask you though, where is your charter boat? Where are you specifically? Is there a different number of routes that you were going to be chartering this summer, or is it one specific route?
Good question.
We will base out at the end of Long Island, at the east end of the island. There's a series of towns, of affluent towns. It's the Hamptons, East Hampton, Southampton, Bridgehampton. We'll be based out of Sag Harbor. And that gives us access to cross up into Rhode Island and Connecticut, to Newport, out to Martha's Vineyard, perhaps as far north as Boston, and then Mystic Seaport. So there's a lot of nice destinations with some open ocean sailing and then some sound sailing.
It all depends on what people want. We totally can accommodate the routes, and it depends how long they want to. We're going to run the whole gamut this summer, from half day charters, sunset cruises, all the way up through the term charters of the 7 nights. So people will have a lot of choices. You know, we're hoping maybe we get some, we got to talk to some wedding planners, maybe in New York, in Manhattan, for bachelorette parties, engagement parties. You know, that'd be a fun weekend.
Or even a wedding.
You know, she said.
Maybe the wedding.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You want to get married on a beach? We'll get you there. In fact, I actually had an engaged couple ask me if I could marry them.
Can you? You're a captain. Yeah, as long as you're at sea.
No, that ended, I think.
At sea, maybe.
No, you can't. No, that ended, I think, back in the 70s.
maybe in some other countries.
Maybe in some other countries. But we're very flexible. That's the nice thing about our charter business is I have a set itinerary when you start, and when if you have a flight at the end of the week, I'll make sure you get back. But if you want to stay at one of our destinations for another day, fine. That's fine. You know, we just look at the weather and we accommodate. I think that sets us apart from the larger charter companies where it's like a train schedule. You know,
it certainly is on a cruise ship. We all know that.
Yeah, you know, they're on a clock.
Right.
They've got to hit so many different places.
We don't leave at 5 if you're not back on board. We'll wait for you.
I've seen those videos. They're not nice to watch.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, you know, one thing that I see in the yachting industry is that charters and yacht brokers tend to target the male audience as far as boat purchases. Now, what I'd like to know from the two of you is when you decided to buy this yacht, who ultimately made that decision?
It was all about down below, the whole accommodation.
That's not true.
I think it was.
That is not true at all.
The layout of the galley.
One neat thing about our boat is that from the helm, you have total control. You could pretty much sink solo sail this 52-foot boat, which is really sweet. All the lines come back. We have furling sails in the main and the jib. So you can really control everything right from the helm. So that had a lot to do with it. And just the modern design, we've always liked modern architecture. And so we really like that too. You know, Jim was talking about the open feeling to it. For a monohull, it feels pretty darn spacious inside and out. But I guess what we've done over the 34 years that we've been married, and when we built our house, is we've kind of broken down our lives into projects. Like he takes apart and I take apart. So there's not too much butting of heads. If one of us feels really strongly about something, I got him smiling. Look at that.
Is this live? Well, the reason she likes the controls all coming back to the helm, so when she tosses me off the stern, she can get home.
I feel you. I'm with you 100%.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, you know what? It has been absolutely amazing talking to you. I can see that being on charter with you would be an absolute hoot because just in this interview, seeing the interaction between the two of you, I mean, it's built-in entertainment. You don't need much else.
That's why they pick a married couple when they come on.
Well, you know what? I hope that you will continue to keep in touch with us. And hopefully maybe one day, if you happen to be out on charter in the Hamptons, I mean, we all have heard about the Hamptons, but if we happen to be out in the Hamptons, we would love to see some video from that area of the country and share it with our viewers.
Perfect. We'd be happy to do that.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. Rhea, thank you very much for having us.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Once again, this has been Jim and Judy from Sail Dauntless. We will provide every single one of their links down below this interview when it airs. We thank you for tuning in. You've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Please tune in again for the next episode.